Do you remember the fucking choose your own adventure books that we used to read, dude?
Of course I do. I was just watching a thing about, like, on YouTube about those.
Shit was so great.
I would always keep, like, my fingers in, like, five different. I was like, oh, no! Okay, I'm running out of fingers.
We had pieces of paper like it was, like, our life, dude. It's so stupid.
Seriously.
Me and my friend Ryan in Stockton, you remember? I think you and I used to do this sometimes, but not like me and him. We'd create lineups for when we played wiffle ball, and we would announce our lineups as we played wiffle ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember. Bringing in a middle reliever,
and now, yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, we were fucking dorks, bro. We were popular kids. We had girlfriends and stuff, but we were fucking dorks.
Thank the light, everyone. I am Desmond McNeese, and these are my wolf brothers.
I am your drunken gleeman. And I like Two Rivers Tobacco.
Who's the other guy?
I'm your wool-headed sheep herder.
And if they don't say that in the second season, I quit.
It doesn't matter. They have not said it enough.
If Lan doesn't call him sheep herder.
Needs to be done.
How are we going to get some of the awesome conversations with Lan and Rand if they're not together? It's
almost like you're starting to come around to my point of view. Hey, maybe they should start following the books a little bit.
How dare you?
They're gonna have some missions together. They'll be all right.
If they don't party up, it's all empty threats. I'm still gonna have a boner about everything that happens, so.
We are your true source, the purest light, your companion cast, warders, if you will, for your journey through all things Wheel of Time. Jessen, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, shit. Is this okay? I thought you were doing it. All right. I got this. I got it, bro. I mean, hey.
What?
Okay. So today we're talking about one of the characters who I love to fucking hate.
Yeah.
You will probably too eventually. You actually liked her at first, which kind of makes me want to like throw up on you, but Leandrin Sedai of the Red Aja.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Ugh. Throw up emoji times 10.
Yes.
So this is,
there is something about her. I yeah. Not as much as I like the, see, I already forgot what the, I already
no, please. Please finish that sentence.
I already Sean Chan.
You're really gonna like the Sean Chan if they stick to the books because they are sexy.
Yes.
They don't care about showing their ass off, especially if they don't respect you as a human being. So that's always good.
Oh, good.
So okay.
I know what you like about Leandra, and it's her amazing jawline. That's what it is.
Jesus.
That is. Right?
Desmond likes women who look like men.
I like handsome women. I like a handsome woman.
I like a handsome woman.
Yes.
That's a good way to describe her because she's not unattractive. She's very British and she's very handsome.
Justin and I have never had to fight over women. Like he's like, I'll take the one on the left, you take the one on the right. I'm like, yep.
Done and that's done.
Yep. Done and done. We're good.
How the fuck do you spell Leandrin? Why can't I find her? How many I's are in Leandrin?
L-I-A-N-D-R-I-A-N.
There it is. Gural? I don't like any of that.
What is that? Her last name?
Yeah, we're going to be changing that to McNeese very soon.
Guess what? Her last name's not important because her last name should be Shithead.
Whoa!
Wow. Shots fired.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull up the clip real quick.
So Leandrin, everybody out there, Leandrin is the first, I'm sure you guys know this out there, but she's the first woman, she's the first Aes Sedai you see in the series chasing what starts out as two dudes, but then ends up being one dude. And she's the one that says men shouldn't touch it with their filthy wieners.
Chapter 7.
Is that what she says?
I think that's what she says. Men put their filthy wieners in the true source and make it dirty.
I knew it was going to be this kind of party.
Stick my dick in the true source.
That's what caused the taint.
Exactly.
is your dick in the source.
Anal sex is the taint, right? Like that's what never should have, what the men should have never done.
The taint is the taint.
What are we listening to, Justin? Is it chapter 7 or not?
No, chapter 6 called Dark Prophecy, The Great Hunt. So this is where, if you're paying attention, you really see Leandrin. This clip is about Leandrin Sedai, and you really see her difference immediately from other Aes Sedai's. They're cajoling, they will manipulate, but they won't outright do what she is about to be doing to Ran. We did a podcast about Blood Calls Blood a few podcasts ago. I don't know. But this is like right after that clip. Peyton Fain has just escaped. Egwene and Matt are injured. They're getting ready to be healed. They don't even know that Rand has just got there and discovered, you know, the dead bodies, the obviously they drained two humans to write all this stuff on the wall in blood. As Desmond pointed out, like, boy, that's a lot of blood to write that in. But, and so the first person to come on the scene besides Rand is Leandrin Sedai. And this is what happens. And so we'll talk about it after.
So, yeah. So this is, I'm on chapter 4 of The Great Hunt right now.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah. So this is, I'll kind of know what's going on here.
Yeah, this is coming. This is going to be a little bit of a spoiler for you, Des. Sorry.
No problem.
Actually, not really. Not really, because the shit's about to happen. But this is right before you knew that Pod and Fane escaped, and then they had the writing on the wall. Some of it was Trolloc script, and some of it was in a better, you know, it was the Varen clip, I think, is the one that we did.
Yeah.
Where she kind of definitely knows what's going down. All right. And, so Rand has just discovered it. He's kind of reading it, and he starts kind of scrubbing it off the wall with some of the hay. And Leandrin's like, fuck you doing, boy?
His sword dropped from a hand suddenly numb. Never taking his eyes off the door, he bent to pick it up. Instead, he grabbed a handful of straw and began scrubbing furiously at the words on the door. Panting, he scrubbed until it was all one bloody smear. What do you do? At the sharp voice behind him, he whirled, stooping to seize his sword. A woman stood in the outer doorway, back stiff with outrage. Her hair was like pale gold in a dozen or more braids, but her eyes were dark and sharp on his face. Aes Sedai. And light help me, she's Red Aja. I was just... It's filthy stuff. Vile. Touch nothing. She took a step forward, peering at him, and he took one back. Yes. Yes, as I thought. One of those with moraine. What do you have to do with this? For a minute, he goggled at her. Me? Nothing. I came down here to find... Egwene. He turned to open the inner door, and the Aes Sedai shouted, No! You will answer me! Suddenly, it was all he could do to stand up, to keep holding the lamp and his sword. Icy cold squeezed at him from all sides. He felt his head caught in a frozen vice. He could barely breathe for the pressure on his chest. Answer me, boy. Tell me your name. Involuntarily, he grunted, trying to answer against the chill that seemed to be pressing his face back into his skull, constricting his chest like frozen iron bands. He clenched his jaws. Painfully, he rolled his eyes to glare at her through a blur of tears. The light burn you, Aes Sedai. I won't say a word. The shadow take you. Answer me, boy. Now! Frozen needles pierced his brain with agony, grated into his bones. The void formed inside him before he even realized he had thought of it. But it could not hold out the pain. Dimly, he sensed light and warmth somewhere in the distance. It flickered queasily, but the light was warm, and he was cold. Distant beyond knowing, but somehow just within reach. Light so cold. I have to reach. What? She's killing me.
He's instinctively reaching for Sidene right there.
Desperately, he stretched toward the light. What is going on here? Abruptly, the cold and the pressure and the needles vanished. His knees sagged, but he forced them stiff. He would not fall to his knees. He would not give her the satisfaction. The void was gone, too, as suddenly as it had come. She was trying to kill me. Panting, he raised his head.
So, pretty short, but we just did a clip about compulsion, and that's kind of like, that is a form of compulsion, but if, you can like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but this is just my opinion. This is a form of compulsion that is, if compared to the Forsaken's compulsion, it's like a surgeon compared to a carpenter.
Yeah, that's okay. That's pretty apt. Yeah.
She is using a form of compulsion, but there is nothing really manipulative about it. It is physically painful. And if she would push hard enough, she could kill him.
Yeah. And so my question to you too, do you think he's resisting just out of sheer will because he's like stubborn, or do you think it has to do with because he can channel?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think at first he's just like stubborn, but then obviously like I feel like, you know, he knows instinctively like he's like, I'm going to die.
Right.
And that's generally when if people who haven't channeled very much, that's when it really like just like a superhero type of shit. It's like, it comes out at a time of great need or stress, you know, and it's just like, you know, like he...
Yeah, he's about to Hulk out.
Yeah, basically. He channeled to relieve Bella's fatigue in, you know, the beginning. Like, that's like literally what, in the first quarter of Eye of the World, he's channeling.
Yeah, unknowingly.
So, and it's like he has no idea what he's doing. But it's just because he just doesn't want Egwene to fall behind. So it's like, I think that's like part of it is, you know, force of will. But at once that starts to fail, he starts getting scared. And then that's when Sidene comes into play, I think.
Yeah.
Is Leandrin already in Faldara? Like in the book where I'm in chapter 4, did she come with the Ammerlin seat? Or does she show up a little bit later to be a bitch?
No, she comes with the Ammerlin.
No, there's like a procession, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Because I haven't really seen, I've just been with Rand running around, still trying to escape the city. And he just talked with Padanfane. And Padanfane is still in his cell where I'm at.
You're only like one chapter behind, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe two. So, yeah, I think the next chapter, it's Moraine and the Ammerlin. And then after that, it's this one.
It's this one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that conversation where Varen is like, just kind of like, and Moraine's like, man, Browns are really unaware of the world. And she's like, well, obviously, one of the kids who can channel and is obviously the dragon is one of the boys that you brought. And she's just like, yeah. So I guess you were kind of paying attention a little bit.
Jeez. Well, and now that Rand's got to wear those fucking all the dragon garb, like he can hide from anybody.
That seems like such a dick move. Well, we don't want people to know you're the dragon. We're just going to fucking knit this mythical character that nobody knows what it is except the people who know what the fuck it is and what it means.
There's only one person in history who's worn this.
Yeah, let's hope they don't side-eye you at all or feel some kind of way.
Like, make sure no one finds out that you're the dragon. Here, put on this shirt that has all these dragons on it.
Exactly, dude. What is that about? Like, thanks for the help, Moraine, but geez.
It's a lizard. It's a tadpole.
That no one's ever seen.
It's a mythical tadpole. Don't worry about it.
That's some sign of kind of weird horse.
I'm not the dragon you're looking for.
No, we're not. Something completely different.
Oh, not to go off on a tangent, but has anybody watched Obi-Wan yet? I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Only one episode.
I heard it's good.
Yeah.
I've heard it's terrible. But I.
You think everything's terrible, you dick?
It's not like the book. He's read.
There isn't an Obi-Wan book. It's called The Phantom Menace. And if you don't think it's better than The Phantom Menace, most people hated that. I liked it.
I really like Obi-Wan because I know where they are.
Right.
Like, I want to like the other shows, but like, I know exactly where he is in the universe. And so I'm much easier to get.
Obi's my favorite Jedi. I had a ferret named Obi.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did I not meet?
Probably not. He was a little silvery gray dude.
Sounds like a ferret that would eat something.
He was an idiot. Definitely one of the dumbest ferrets I've ever had.
That says a lot.
Nothing behind those eyes. Even less than most.
I miss ferrets more than any other pet. Like,
I don't.
Don't they stink?
Not really.
Not really.
No?
Not too bad. They stink if you have four and don't clean their litter box.
God damn, we had a goddamn zoo.
Get on with it.
So, not to put too fine a point on what we just listened to, are there black Aja from every Aja?
Yes.
So, everyone has... So, like, green Aja aren't, you know...
Nobody's immune.
Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. No one's immune to the draw of the dark side.
Yes, that's correct.
And by the end of the show, are we just going to know, or do they just fucking march in the final battle wearing black? Just like, the ruse is over. Fuck you.
Yeah, basically, they become the new Dreadlords is what they call them. And yeah, they do pretty much wear all black.
But they catch a bunch of them first. Like in the White Tower, they catch a bunch of them.
That's right. Ooh. And also not in the tower in Salidar. One of the biggest black Ajas gets caught in Salidar, remember?
Yeah, definitely.
We don't want to ruin that. That's a good one.
Don't ruin that. That's a real good one.
Yeah, it's a real good one.
Yeah, that one surprised me too.
Yeah, no shit, dude. I was like, it didn't surprise me 100% because like I was like, at that point, I was like, I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, seriously.
Is there an obvious leader of the Black Aja, or is it just a bunch of women who have gone bad that are willing to do what it takes to overthrow the democracy?
For a short time, of the ones that you know, there is, for a short time. Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Really? Who? Like the when you're talking about the original 13, he's going to be there pretty soon. So, and that's not that big of a spoiler.
Yeah. It's the only reason I would say that she's the one in charge is she's the only one that Robert Jordan wrote from her perspective as.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So fair. Everything comes from her.
That's true.
And all the, it seems like all of the, even though they're all like, there's like infighting and then arguing, they all seem to kind of defer to her. I could be wrong about that too.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because one of the things that eventually kind of comes out is that they're more like, as opposed to like having like a leader, like you said, they are more like, not that I have any expertise in this in any way, shape, or form, but the way you hear a like terrorist cell described, like, you know, there's 10 of them here or 20 of them here, and they like only like one out of that 20 knows like one from one other cell, and like each person in that cell knows one other person. So like none of them really know.
Yeah, that's true.
Who all of them are. They kind of know who they deal with, but there's a much bigger network.
Yeah, there's not like a list that everybody knows.
Well, I'm reading up on like how the Black Aja like runs, and it's the Black Aja is administered by a Supreme Council, alternatively called the Great Council, which consists of 13 sisters who meet while hooded so that none may know the identity of another. If one member of the council dies, then another is raised in her place, thereby keeping the constant number in the leadership of the Black Aja. Within the Black Aja, sisters are organized into hearts, groups of three women who know each other's identity and who in turn each know one sister from another heart. Only the head of the Great Council knows the full structure of the Aja. So yeah, it's a...
Do we know who that is, Jeremy? Did we ever find that out?
I don't think so. Okay, I'm going to say that we probably do. I just don't remember. I don't remember who it is.
Is Tarviren only a quote-unquote good guy thing, or are there some bad Tarviren too?
I would have to imagine there's probably some on the other side.
That's never brought up. It's never brought up. Like, are there bad guys? Well, I mean, what would you say? Like, is Artur Hawkwing was kind of like a Alexander the Great type? So
he would almost be a neutral because he's a real, like, he is the reason behind a lot of the strife, you know?
Here's my, hearing you guys kind of struggle to answer the question a little bit. I bet you the evil ones, they force with getting as much people involved with them as they can to bend the weave to their will, but the weave doesn't actually naturally weave itself around them cooperatively.
I'm going to probably say that they probably aren't. There aren't Tavirin, because the whole point of the...
Tavirin is to fix the shit that's wrong, I guess.
And then the Dark One, he wants to break the wheel. That's his whole point. He wants to...
Oh, that's right.
So like, why would the pattern spit out a Tavirin?
Why would he want someone... to break the wheel.
That would help him do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess generally I think Tavirin are probably like heroes of the light. Because it's like, you know, the people who come back for the horn, they're like, oh, what if they come back for the Dark One? It's like the only way they would come back for the Dark One is if the dragon was corrupted to fight for the Dark One. And then everybody's kind of fucked anyway.
Yeah, let's get fucked.
But that's just a touch of like how shitty Leandrin is in that shit. Like, you know, like she's really, it's not even compulsion. It's like straight torture with the power. Like, you know, she's.
Yeah, because she's bad at it.
She's hurting him.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not good. Like I said, it's like, I'm just going to go fix this guy's knee with my hammer and my chisel. No.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's a great, we got some YouTube videos that my son found of like a guy acting like different dogs. And they're just like quick little TikTok videos. And the best one is Border Collie. Ow, ow, I think I broke my ankle. Ugh, I got to run this off.
That's Winston, man. Oh, my tongue's bleeding from catching the frisbee. Can you throw the frisbee some more?
Throw it some more.
I can't breathe because I'm running so hard. Can you make me run more? No, stop. Go drink some water.
Well, thank you, Justin. That was a perfect clip for me. Like I said, I'm in the Great Hunt. I'm doing it. And not that I need any help to you know, boost me through it. Like, now that I'm done with the first book, with the going, you know, somewhat, don't quote me on this, Jeremy, somewhat along with the first season, I was like, really, like, don't miss anything, because I want to be able to connect all these dots. And now that I'm past the first book, I'm like, all right, let's just fucking grind these out and get some information. So
turns out there's no dots.
There are no dots.
See, you're trying to connect the dots when there are really just squares.
That's true.
Or there's so many books apart that they get a little bit blurry. And
I saw this meme today. It was like the first five books were like, oh, like your average, like really good TV drama. And then the second set was like daytime soap operas or whatever. And like,
how can we stretch this out?
Yeah. Well, and it's like, dude, you know what? It's funny because when you're reading it, it kind of feels like that. But then once you get to the end, like, it really, there's a lot of important shit that happens in that kind of slog. There's some stuff that you can really just kind of like skim through.
Well, there's a lot of important stuff that happens that could have been scaled way, 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 way down.
Could have put it in a book and a half instead of, what, three?
There's that one, the whole thing of with Elaine trying to get the you know, everybody behind her so she could become the queen. And like, literally, you could have just...
Yeah, feel free to cut that from the...
You could have been... They literally could have been like, hey, Rand got a letter saying, hey, Elaine is a queen now. Oh, awesome.
Oh, dope. You know, her forces took over. Awesome. In a stunning, daring night raid. And great. Good, good. Excellent.
Could we at least go on for 20 pages about the ornate value of the paper that the message was written on?
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
Oh, and then contemplating whether or not to break the seal on the wax.
Yes. But first, describe the wax and how it feels and what it looks like and what color it is.
The paper was nice sheep vellum. Papers made up.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to our Thank the Light tripod of a podcast.
Dude, this is going to be like episode 32?
Yep, this is episode 32.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Like, it's crazy. I was thinking about it, like, you know, we're talking about banging out, a bunch of episodes. Like, we're basically 15 episodes away from being knee deep in episode two. Like, season two won't be out yet, but it'll be so close that we'll be like,
dude, they're not letting a lot of fucking info out. So I mean, like, I really hope that,
well, even if we don't have any information, we're just gonna have no trouble knowing what to talk about, you know?
Yeah,
getting prepared for it.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I saw something on Twitter there today. It was like, you know, what's one thing that from like The Great Hunt and The Dragon Reborn that you would cut out? What's one thing that you really, really want to make sure they keep? And what's thing that you would keep and maybe like alter or something? And like, there was a lot of great answers. One of the things was like, you got to keep the fight with Matt and Gawain and Galad. Like, that has to be in there. They're like when they're wintering in the mountains, like, yeah, we don't need to see that. Just do that quick.
I want proof of snow. I want proof of snow. God damn
there
it.
There do be snow in Thalea.
Send your predictions for season two to Wolf Brothers at Parsha Ailman on the Bird app. That is at Parsha Ailman. If you would like to if you would like to contact us directly, let us know some things you'd like us to talk about or whatever. Or if you want to ask just or you can talk to...
What kind of weed should I smoke to help me sleep, man? I got you on all
the answers. Oh, dude, if you have weed suggestions, please send them to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for some other podcast to fill your eardrums while you wait for your next Thank the Light, you know what? Fuck that. Fuck other podcasts this week. Go tell someone about Thank the Light. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Stop.
Tell someone about Thank the Light. Rate us, please.
Head on over to iTunes, 5 stars. Tell us we're awesome. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Tell your mom. Hey, mom! 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 Check out Thank the Light podcast on iTunes.
I told my mom, and she's like, nah, I'm not going to listen. I'm like, will you support me? She's like, no. I'm like, sweet, awesome.
Our first live show is going to be called Thanks, Mom. Well, Justin, my mom listens just to hear my voice. She could give a fuck about what we're talking about, but she loves hearing us chit-chat.
My wife does that sometimes while I'm at work. Oh. My dogs get tripped out. They're like, I hear Dad. Where's Dad?
May you always find water and shade.
That's right. What he said.
Billy Zane as Asmodian. Let's start it right now. Hashtag Billy Zane as Asmodian.
Perfect. Do that right there. Yeah, that's what I like. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.